break open doors, leading you down into my core. Will I become so
good evening and welcome. Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, May 26th, 2009 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And thought maybe we'd go through, I don't know, I'm going to run through the news as I see it real fast, do it the way that I would do it as I look at it, and we'll see how this goes. In the first segment, in the second segment, I'm going to jump into the series of articles, the two articles that Bruce Wiseman wrote. I think those are critical if you're going to understand what happened in the mortgage industry and really what's happening again. You know, like I was joking last week, and it's really no joke, I mentioned Joan Vian's new video. If you can get it, definitely get it. It's absolutely brilliant as always. I mean, she's just amazing, but she makes the case that the last, line of defense or the last, line of protection that we had in this country was the interest rates. And that was the interest rates, meaning the Fed funds rate in particular. And so basically, as we see that, that bar being not just lowered but just done away with, that will result in all kinds of cataclysmic aftershocks, basically, which will be a lot similar to what we already experienced in the last round of the subprime contagion. It's already happening. I mean, I see ads in the paper. See, we've come through the first cycle in the mortgage business, and I was in the industry when this was happening. We came through the first cycle, and I can assure you the people that are left, because there was a massive expansion in the industry, then there's a contraction, and all of the people in the mortgage industry, many of them went to other industries and other trades, some by necessity, others for other reasons, but those who remain, I know some of them, and they haven't learned their lesson, so to speak, on the consumer's behalf or on the borrower's behalf. They only remember where they were 3, 4, 5 years ago, and that they were making, I mean, literally, I remember being, for example, I'll say this. I worked for AmeriQuest at one point. Please don't hold that against me. I was recruited. It's a long story. But when I showed up at AmeriQuest, the sales contest was for a new car. The gentleman who won it won a Mercedes coupe. That's what the industry came out of. And I guarantee you that the people that are still in the industry are not listening to this broadcast as they should, and others like it. All they remember is the good old days. Now they're trying to recreate the good old days with the programs and the interest rates that are available today. And when the bar of interest rates is brought down, just like it was at the turn of the century, we're going to have trouble. So anyway, I'll touch on the news as I see it when we come back, and we'll get right into Bruce Wiseman's articles because I think they're critical, and some other things, a whole lot more when we come back. Stick around.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back, and we're not flying blind tonight, which is good. And I appreciate your patience and your forgiveness on yesterday's broadcast. Since we were flying blind, it was a little bit interesting. I listened to it after the broadcast last night, and some of the intros and the outros were a little interesting. But appreciate your patience on that. Not flying blind this evening, though. And a couple of things, real quick, before I get into this stuff. I would, if you have an opportunity, I would go back to Friday's archive, for example. Go back and grab the archives that I threw in last week by the remarks by the Treasury Undersecretary for International Affairs, David McCormick. And the other one, I can't remember what it is right off the top of my head, but the remarks by David McCormick were very telling. That was Friday, HP 838, remarks by Treasury Undersecretary for International Affairs, David H. McCormick. Very interesting information in there. This is one of those things where you can read it. They were saying it a year and almost a year and a half ago, McCormick made these remarks. This is a plan that's been in place for I mean, this plan, this most recent, most concerted effort on the part of the financial cabal, I suppose you could say, has been in place since 99. The FSAP, the FSF, those kinds of things were created in 99. And I agree with Joan Vian. Like I said, that video, her most recent, when central banks rule the world, is absolutely brilliant. She talks about so many things, and I should take notes and actually do a piece on that, but I'm actually looking forward to having her on the broadcast sometime in the near future, and I want to go through it with her. But she points out so many things and articulates them so well that I've been trying to get to, but, you know, like she does it so well and so much better than I. It's just uncanny. But it's interesting, you know, you do a little bit of homework and everybody starts coming to the same conclusions. And the point that I'm making is, you know, the regulatory agencies was one of the other last lines of defense on a national basis, or the nation states, as she says. You know, one of their last lines of defense was the regulatory barriers, and those have all been being deconstructed. Those have been going off, being imploded and demolished like squibs, like I keep saying. You know, the controlled demolition of these various sectors of our former financial constructs. You know, when the financial powers that be say that we have an antiquated regulatory system, for example, what do they mean by that? And it's just what I'm saying. You know, that's one of our last lines of defense. Antiquated means it's one of the former financial constructs that separates us from this global system that would unite all the countries. So anyway, these remarks are absolutely uncanny. And if you read it, and if you read it for comprehension, you can't really come away with anything other than just an astonishing realization that we have people at the highest levels, especially in the financial sector, that have no qualms with and make no bones about the fact that they are adamant about pursuing this global financial system. But, you know, before I close that thought, back to the regulatory piece, that gets to the heart of my suspicions that I was digging through and have been talking about recently, and this kind of network cabal between all the regulatory agencies, the SEC, the OCC, FDIC, the Fed, the Treasury, these kinds of organizations or agencies that are supposed to be a firewall, if you will, a line of defense against international overrun. And that's being handed over now. What we see is that a lot of power and control and wealth is being siphoned off to the Fed. And at the same time, I firmly believe that we will see the Fed be imploded, and that the IMF will take over. And it won't be some formal big, you know, brouhaha where the Fed goes away. Oh no. What it will be is that the Fed will be, who knows, you might see Bernanke discredited or some kind of crazy thing. You might see some board members thrown out. These are the kinds of things that have happened at the various, you know, through the various FSAPs that have been conducted around the world so far. So you can expect those kinds of things to happen. You can expect to see the FSAP reach into the banks that are not member banks of the Fed right now and try to grab hold of all of the grassroots banks through that mechanism, in conjunction, of course, with the Financial Stability Forum and other things. But, you know, you can start to see the signs of this and the writing on the wall when you read the remarks that I'm talking about, the Treasury Secretary remarks, those by David McCormick and the other archive that I stuck in there. But, you know, when David McCormick says that, and I mentioned the citation yesterday, the United States is prepared to accept an important role for purchasing power parity. What does that mean for most people? You know, we need to let that point resonate. I've chewed on that soundbite, among others, for a few days now. And purchasing power parity, for example, is one of the ways that you can bring, obviously, all countries to same kind of level, but think about it. There's no, one of the most significant and profound effects of purchasing power parity is what we see in this country right now before our very eyes, and over, certainly over the last several decades, is our purchasing power just being eroded, being brought down. And what that means is that you need a bigger and bigger neighborhood, so to speak, to be able to make your nut, to use a sales term. And you get to a point, for example, in this country where you see a number of companies, and even people in some cases, especially, you know, some of the sole proprietors of, you know, the last generation or two, suddenly need almost a global neighborhood, so to speak, to be able to continue doing business as they once were able to in a very small geographic region, maybe in, you know, the Pacific Northwest, for example, or, you know, some of the various regions around the country. So suddenly that purchasing power parity starts to erode national borders and boundaries as well. It's one of the most significant, profound impacts of this concept. And we have these guys like David McCormick who are unabashedly saying, oh yeah, I mean, this is what he says, his remarks. He says, you know, the United States is prepared to accept an important role for purchasing power parity in the new quota formula if that helps build consensus. And that, of course, is tied to, like I said, you know, while measuring GDP at market exchange rates is optimal for the purposes of the fund. Meaning what? Well, you know, you can basically crash, you know, you sell off a bunch of currency, you can crash a currency overnight. It's real easy, with market exchange rates. And that gets back to his opening remarks about correcting the misaligned currencies that have created excessive buildups of foreign exchange reserves. What do these kinds of things mean? Anyway, I don't want to get off on that today, but that was an incredibly important speech that he gave, and there are others, but that was a particularly important one. You'll get a great bird's eye view of exactly what we see shaping up with the role of the IMF. I mentioned the Congressional Research Service report last year, also in October, titled The Global Financial Crisis, The Role of the International Monetary Fund. And I believe, speaking of that one, it was the remarks that I threw in last Thursday from Mark Sobel's speech, Deputy Assistant Treasury Secretary Mark Sobel, last December. That was HP 1307. I think he was the one who was talking about the fact that, maybe it wasn't, I can't remember which one it was at this point. One of the two mentioned the same thing, the CRS report. Well, I think it was, might have been McCormick's remarks. Anyway, one of them mentioned the IMF, I'll just read you the excerpt from the Congressional Research Service report. It says, and I mentioned this last year, but it's important to mention again, the IMF is in the process of seeking authorization from national legislatures to sell a portion of gold that the IMF holds in reserve to create an investment fund whose profits can be used to finance IMF operations. Congress, meaning our Congress, is expected to face a vote in fiscal year 2009 on whether or not to authorize this proposal. Well, why is this significant if the IMF is going to sell off some of their gold reserves? Well, who do you think they're holding those in reserve for? Which is why our Congress is expected to vote on that. And then, you know, one of the other things Joan Vion mentions in her video is the coming false gold standard that the BIS will probably likely install somewhere down the road. And why would they do that? Why would you get away from something that doesn't let you play hanky-panky with currencies in the market anymore? Why would you go back to a somewhat more solid, more fixed currency that disallows so much of the misbehavior like derivative activity and things that we've seen of late? Well, in simple terms, because once you take over every country through the central banking system, then you want to lock it down so that no one else can play. But you don't want to do it with a fair gold standard, a real gold standard, because then people would be able to store up wealth. You want to do it with a phony gold standard. Stick around. We'll be right back.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stopped arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Backtalk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back. All right, I changed my mind. I don't think I'm going to go through the news as I see it right now. I'm going to hold off on that. But I will address a question real quick. Stacy asks, do you have any good recommendations for books on the French Revolution? Limited history revision. I do, actually. And this was a question so significant, I think, that it begs mentioning on the air. So I think it's a great question, Stacy. My personal favorite of all time has to be by Nesta Webster. French Revolution, A Study in Democracy. Nesta Webster is one of my favorite historians. World Revolution is another great book by Nesta Webster. Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, another great book by Nesta Webster. I mean, she was amazing. So I'll throw a link in the archive to some of the books and information on her tonight, but I would start there. I think that Nesta Webster, Nesta H. Webster, N-E-S-T-A H. Webster, W-E-B-S-T-E-R, is probably my all-time favorite. And I would just start there. And to me, I mean, she's brilliant. And by the way, Joan Vian has some of her books advertised in her store on her website. And that's, man, you can't go wrong with that. I don't know too many people that do in their online stores. A few do, but most don't. Anyway, if you get a chance, pick up something by Nesta Webster and read it. The French Revolution, Studying Democracy is a good one. World Revolution, Secret Societies, those are good ones too. So, anyway, with that, a couple of things on the archive. Again, you know, if you can go back and read those two articles from last week, there's a ton of stuff in there if you're interested. I think the remarks that the two Treasury Secretary press or the Treasury Department press releases that I mentioned, HP 838, remarks by David McCormick in Friday's archive, and HP 1307, remarks by Deputy Assistant Treasury Secretary Mark Sobel in Thursday's archive, and those are available in the archives at republicbroadcasting.org. Those two articles, and of course you can find them at the Treasury Department's website. Just go, you know, search those two and find them there as well. Or you can find them in the Google search that I did. You search FSAP, site-specific search on the treasury.gov site for FSAP, FSAP, which is, of course, the acronym, I suppose, for Financial Sector Assessment Program. And you'll find those two in that search as well, among others. So try to give those a read if you get a chance. They're really, really short, but very, very revealing. And that was fairly important. I threw in some fun stuff yesterday. The pieces that I used to cut together the little soundbite with Hillary and Joe Biden and Barack Obama. I'm a progressive. That's not change. That's more of the same. They must think you're stupid, that deal. Anyway, those pieces, the original footage is in yesterday's archive. And I'm not sure. Yes, I did throw in the article that I mentioned about the Panhandle Health District to test all students for TB. And all means all. And they tested them all, and they tested all the staff. So hopefully Dale Peck can get over to that, and it'll jog his memory. And then there's some other interesting pandemic websites. One of them was the site from Stanford that Stacy sent over last week. Thanks for that. It's always great to get stuff from listeners, and I love reading through that stuff. So thank you for that, everybody. So anyway, I want to jump into those two articles by Bruce Weissman that I mentioned, because those are critical as well. And who knows, I might even come back to McCormick's as a follow-on. But then, you know, that New York Times article that I mentioned too about BlackRock is a good kind of follow-on from these articles. So I'm going to read through these. And hopefully you have, or you, I don't know, hopefully we all gain a greater understanding of exactly what's gone on and why it's so important. You know, I think for most of us, when you look at financial affairs and financial issues, it comes to a point where, you know, you get up into the stratosphere somewhere, and pretty soon you know you really don't trust what you're regurgitating and what you've been told, no matter who you've been lied to by, or how you've been lied to. It seems like, you know, there's a point where it's all speculation and conjecture, and we know it, but we know there's more to the story. It just kind of feels like somebody's maybe not telling us everything, and then maybe that somebody or some other somebody's are doing things with malice aforethought. And that's definitely the case. So this article, these two articles, will point that out, and you will not believe it. That and more when we come back. Stick around.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, Zero Debt in 90 Days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt-free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you are facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's right, you keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 debt relief secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
All right. Welcome back. So I think what we'll do is pick up in this article. And like I said, I hope this brings clarity. I know it will. And it's very, very important. Hopefully, you know, I know this is usually boring stuff, but I'll tell you what, once you start to see what's really going on and how easily it appears to be orchestrated, It brings tremendous understanding to what otherwise would just be enigmatic and mysterious. So I'll quit blathering on, and we're going to jump in first to The Financial Crisis, A Look Behind the Wizard's Curtain by Bruce Wiseman. This was published March 19th, 2009 by Canada Free Press. This is in the archives from, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, Bruce says, he starts off, he writes, "I'm tired of hearing about subprime mortgages. It's as if these things were living entities that had spawned an epidemic of economic pornography. Subprime mortgages are as much a cause of the current financial chaos as bullets were for the death of JFK. Someone planned the assassination and someone pulled the trigger. The media, J. Edgar Hoover, and the Warren Commission tried to push Lee Harvey Oswald off on the American public. They didn't buy it. They shouldn't buy subprime mortgages either. Someone planned the assassination and someone pulled the trigger. Only this time the target is the international financial structure and the bullets are still being fired. I agree. Oh yes, people took out adjustable rate mortgages they could ill afford that were then sold to Wall Street bankers. The bankers bundled them up like gift wrappers at Nordstrom's during the holidays and sold them to other banks after raking off billions in fees. The fees, they were for, well, they were for wrapping the mortgages in the hot couture of Wall Street. But it didn't start there. No, no, not by a long shot. And as the late, great Paul Harvey would say, and now you're going to hear the rest of the story. Are subprime mortgages part of some larger agenda? And if so, what is it? Stay with me here, because Alice is about to slide down the rabbit hole into the looking glass world of international finance. Easy Money Allen. There are various places we could start this story, but we will begin with the 1987 ascendancy of Rockefeller Rothschild homeboy Alan Greenspan from the board of directors of J.P. Morgan to the throne of chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank, a position he was to hold for 20 years, almost. From the beginning of his term, Greenspan was a strong advocate for deregulating the financial services industry, letting the cowboys of Wall Street sow their wild financial oats, so to speak. He also kept interest rates artificially low, as if he had sprayed the boardroom of the Federal Reserve with some kind of fiscal aspartame. While aspartame, an artificial sweetener branded as, quote, equal and, quote, NutraSweet, keeps the calories down, it has this itty-bitty side effect of converting to formaldehyde in the human body and creating brain lesions. As we are dealing here with a gruesomely tortured metaphor, let me explain. I'm not suggesting that Chairman Greenspan put equal in his morning coffee, but rather that by his direct influence, interest rates were forced artificially low, resulting in an orgy of borrowing and toxic side effects for the entire economy. The Community Reinvestment Act. Greenspan had been the Fed chairman for 7 years when in 1994 a bill called the Community Reinvestment Act was rewritten by Congress. The new version had the purpose of providing loans to help deserving minorities afford homes. Nice thought. But the new legislation opened the door to loans that set aside certain lending criteria, little things like a down payment, enough income to service the mortgage, and a good credit record. I could interject so many things in these points, but he makes brilliant points and he does it at a great macro level. You know, that's when the ratios basically tipped over. You know, today we have these just astronomical debt to income ratios, 40, 45, 50% we've seen over the last few years. That was unheard of in the days before the rewriting of the CRA. Anyway, continuing, he says, with the CRA's facelift, we have in place two of the five elements of the perfect financial storm. Allen, Easy Money Greenspan, at the helm of the Fed, and a piece of legislation that turned mortgage lenders into a division of the Salvation Army. Perhaps you can see the pot beginning to boil here, but the real fuel to the fire was yet to come. Glass-Steagall. To understand the third element of the storm, we travel back in time to the Great Depression and the 1933 passage of the federal law called the Glass-Steagall Act. As excess speculation by banks was one of the key factors of the banking collapse of 1929. This law forbade commercial banks from underwriting or promoting and selling stocks and bonds. That activity was left to the purview of, quote, investment banks. Names of major investment banks you might recognize include Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and the recently deceased Lehman Brothers. Commercial banks could take deposits and make loans to people. Investment banks underwrote or facilitated the issuing of stocks and bonds. To repeat, this law was put in place to prevent the banking speculation that caused the Great Depression. Among other regulations, Glass-Steagall kept commercial banks out of the securities. Greenspan's role in our not-so-little drama is made clear in one of his first speeches before Congress in 1987, in which he calls for the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. In other words, he's trying to get rid of the legislation that kept a lid on banks speculating in financial markets with securities. He continued to push for the repeal until 1999, when New York banks successfully lobbied Congress to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act. Easy Money Allen hailed the repeal as a revolution in finance. Yeah, baby, a revolution was coming. With Glass-Steagall gone and the permissible mergers of commercial banks with investment banks, there was nothing to prevent these combined financial institutions from packaging up the subprime CRA mortgages with normal prime loans and selling them off as mortgage-backed securities through a different arm of the same financial institution. No external due diligence required. You now have three of the five horsemen of the fiscal apocalypse: Greenspan, CRA mortgages, and repeal of Glass-Steagall. I would go a little bit further on the CRA. There was definitely some gas poured on that, especially with interest rates and the regulatory subterfuge that ensued after the lowering of the Fed funds rate to, quote, stimulate the economy by Greenspan, speaking of Easy Money Allen. Anyway, next, waiver of capital requirements. Enter Hammering Hank Paulson. In April of 2004, a group of five investment banks met with the regulators at the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, and convinced them to waive a rule that required the banks to maintain a certain level of reserves. This freed up an enormous reservoir of capital, which the investment banks were able to use to purchase oceans of mortgage-backed securities, cleverly spiked with the subprime CRA loans like a martini in a Bond movie. The banks kept some of these packages for their own portfolios, but sold them by the bucket load to willing buyers from every corner of the globe. The investment bank that took the lead in getting the SEC to waive the regulation was, care to guess, Goldman Sachs. That's right. The person responsible for securing the waiver was Goldman's chairman, a man named Henry Paulson. With the reserve rule now removed, Paulson became Wall Street's most, you know, and isn't it interesting that somebody who would, you know, who would command a multi-million dollar salary at an investment firm and sell his shares for $2 billion would leave and take a step down to, what, I think it's a $144,000 position as Treasury Secretary, if memory serves. Why would somebody do that? Can you imagine having that conversation with your wife? Honey, I'm making $15 million bucks a year, but I'm going to step down a little bit. I'm going to cut back to $144,000. You know, that's like somebody going from $100,000 to, like, I don't know, $7,500 bucks a year. Why would somebody do that? Anybody ever ask that question? Anyway, continuing. With the reserve rule now removed, Paulson became Wall Street's most aggressive player, leveraging the relaxed regulatory environment in a sales and marketing jihad of mortgage-backed securities and similar instruments. Goldman made billions. And Hammer and Hank? According to Forbes magazine, his partnership interest in Goldman in 2006 was worth $632 million. This on top of his $15 million per year in annual compensation. Despite his glistening dome, let's say Hank was having a good hair day. In case this isn't clear, it was Paulson who, more than anyone else on Wall Street, was responsible for the boom in selling the toxic mortgage-backed securities to anyone who could write a check. Many of you may recognize the name Hank Paulson. It was Paulson who left the Goldman Sachs chairmanship and came to Washington in mid-2006 as George Bush's Secretary of Treasury. and like I said, at a pay cut, they erased a zero and then some, I might add. And so like I said, why would Hammer and Hank do that? Imagine explaining that to your spouse. And it was Paulson who bludgeoned Congress out of $700 billion. Remember the holding of hostage of so-called stimulus money with threats of public riots and financial Armageddon if they did not cough up the dough. He then used $300 billion to, quote, bail out his Wall Street homeboys –